MMA Legal. You're speaking with Alan. How can I help you?
Hi, Aaron. I've got Alan Wyatt on the line to do his call. He did need two proofs of he needed a proof of address, sorry, but I've just updated two now.
Okay, ready to go. Perfect. No worries.
I've also updated his new mobile number because he did have a different number on the system, but he's recently WhatsApp me and told me his number's changed, so I've updated that too.
No worries. What did you say his name was? Alan Wiles?
Wiles, yeah. It's spelled W-Y-L-E-S.
Yep, no worries. Got him here. No worries. Thanks, Billy. Send them over.
Perfect. Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you. Hello, am I speaking with Alan?
Yeah, I'm Dean Mustang.
Hi Alan, my name is Aaron. I'm part of the investigation team here at MMA Legal. How are you today?
I'm just soldiering on my grass, soldiering.
What were you doing? You were mowing your grass?
No. I was not mowing my grass. No, I'm scared. You got barking that the council that you are mowing the grass. And my dog is barking.
I like it. I understand.
Telling your
phone
to be quiet.
I know, fair enough. Well, Alan, yeah, my job here at MMA Legal as part of the investigation team is to gather as much evidence as I can about you, about your time in care and also post-care. So you have roughly around about 10, 15 minutes to go through all this with me, is that okay? Perfect. So what I need to do, Alan, is I need to ask you a series of questions so I can represent you the best way that I can. So I do apologise if some of these questions can be sensitive. I do understand. Obviously, I don't want to push you, to go overboard or anything like that. I am here to help you and understand and paint the best picture that I can for yourself. So the more that you can, remember or tell me, the better I can help and represent you.
Yeah.
Okay. Alan, I just want to start off by understanding, do you have any mental health issues diagnosed from a doctor or anything, sir?
Yeah.
Okay, do you mind listing what they are, please?
Diagnosed manic depression, severe violent tendencies, especially when I'm depressed, or if you're an addict. Well, I'm not an addict. I'm actually clean there for 5 years, but I was an addict for 28 years.
Yeah.
So it's not been easy, but I've been clean there for 5 years, so I'm getting there.
I know, perfect. That's a massive turnaround for yourself.
When I just started getting clean and start getting my life together, you guys get in touch.
Yeah. And what was it that you were addicted to, sir?
Everyone, the heroin, the cocaine, crack, everything steroids, every pill you can think of, the Xanax, the Azepam, you name it, anything that could get me wasted, I was on it.
Yeah.
Couldn't do the life it was an escape.
Yeah, no, I understand that. That's it.
Just the length of time that I was in care. And then I'm present, it's totally institutionalised, and then anytime I go to a leash, any change of system or anything like that, i.e. children's homes or security units, or as an adult present, I've no sense of surviving on this side of the world. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no,
addiction, I feel everything. I made every mistake, more than I changed, you name it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had a horrific life up until I was 40. I was in prison and I was stuck off 80 milligrams of methadone, and I've never got to describe this depth of despair and just, what I mean? It was kind of do or die, and it's the same on again.
That unfortunately is the nasty effects of what the care system can do to yourself, isn't it?
Yeah, It's like, she knew I'm signed up for social sciences and psychology and all, I'm going to study that and that. Try to help people because, like, obviously when you go through it, I've had a traumatic life, not just a past, in many ways, outside, I've seen both sides of the fence, do you know what I mean? And this is the outside systems. So I can see myself outside the woke's point of view now as a forward man. But I, looking back, man, what a horrific life. I wouldn't wish it for anybody. But these things I hate to test with, I guess, yeah. It's just unfortunate. A lot of people don't make it through. They're all side backs and this. And, yeah, I mean, along the journey of my life, I spend majority of my time alone. In my house, isolated, not have any friends because everybody takes drugs and I don't want to take drugs anymore. So it's just me and my American idea and I just do my thing. But I'm quite happy, I've been smoked up that long. I'm quite happy sitting on me. I can sit on me and just fuck all and no care. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't need none. You know what I mean? There are people who have been just in despair.
Yeah.
That's through having a hard life and having to just get used to it. That is what it is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do understand
everything that you've ever loved or cared for is just constantly taken for you. It gives you such a, it's not a hard man's attitude, it's a hard heart. You know, I've still got hearts for people, I still love life and all that now. Now that I'm not an active addiction or taking part in it and I'm seeing a future where I can help people through trauma and that and things like that. So it's like looking back, it's not a purpose, but wow, I had a hell of a road, man. I wouldn't wish it on anybody and I've got a heart of bleeds for people who are going through it these days or who are suffering through like addiction or anything like that because you've passed trauma or abuse in any way, because it comes in many forms. It doesn't always come through being in care. It can happen at home. Do you know what I mean?
Just
unfortunately that Mali, I would came into the care system at 4. An abusive, alcoholic and very violent family. But taking my reading and Damien didn't do me one bit of good.
I can understand that.
It actually made things worse because even though I was in they were abusive to each other but never to us. So I mean, well, my parents coming and then I get put in a so-called safe place where I get abused. I didn't mind that my own father and I've got never worth these kind of things like that.
Yeah, it
must be getting older, doesn't it? Aye, then you go to children's homes and that and you see them in the car seat and then they start beating the shit out of you. You know what I mean? And you can't get it. It's like they change things are traumatized, you know what I mean?
Of course, it's not ideal for anybody to go through. Not at all. Especially as what you've just said there, say, you know, it's meant to be, you know, some sort of safe place, and it's just not. It's good that you can obviously come on this phone call with me today and you know, express what you've been through and how it's affecting you, but also, I know it is a bit mad to say, but, you know, you can say it with a little bit of a smile on your face as well, because, you know, you've you're kind of seeing the light in some things, which is obviously the massive positive that some people don't really see. So, you know, be proud of yourself for that, Alan, because it really does take some confidence.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Thank you, my man. Because I've had some old time goals where I say, do or die, motherfucker.
Yeah.
And I've actually been, kicked and stabbed to death along my journey. I've overdosed more times than I can even remember, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've got that point in life where I feel so lucky I'm still alive.
Yeah.
But I'm just lucky that God still wakes me up. I'm lucky I've got a roof on my head.
No, and it's a really, really good mindset to have. It really is, and it's probably the only best mindset to have, to get yourself through.
Years since I started studying, man. It's studying with Carl Jung and all these good people who studied his mind and about people like the trauma, and I just started studying all this stuff, and it started to help me to dismantle and dissolve all the things that happened in my life so that I could move up with it and no breaking me like it used to. It's repercussions every day. My life, for me being an addict for 28 years after coming to the care system. I was staying active addiction, you know what I mean? Selling drugs, taking drugs, you name it, mate, you know what I mean? I got all the drugs, got all kind of hand, you know what I mean? It's quite mental. But anyway, I better answer these questions.
No, don't worry, you're letting your heart out, and it's nice to hear, do you know what I mean? And it's probably good for yourself as well. But just touching
base, like I said, it's just me and the dogs. You need to really thought last, you just can't use your eyes.
Yeah. Well, just touching base on what you said, obviously, before, Alan, you said you've had multiple attempts of overdosing. Was you ever hospitalised for that at all?
I was on record that, she's going to do that. they brought me back to ice. I've been geared on arrival at least 5 times, and how they brought me back to life in America, that's how I say it, after you directed to help start life. And then that time I got murdered, I was done in, stabbed, and skull fractured, all my teeth kicked out, 2 broken ears, broken wrists, broken legs, broken ankles, and like I say, broken jaw, fractured skull, perforated eardrums, and what left for beat.
Is that when you was in care as well?
No, that's when I go to prison. This is all backlash. You're turning away from it and it tries to catch up with you, so backlash for that crap, man. But it's doing well, gets fine. Blood out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm kidding, I'm not joking about that crap, right? Blood and being out, man. You work for Satan, man. He wants blood. and hurting humanity, thinking and putting a class act going that you're a good guy, you know that.
Yeah.
You try to walk away through that pretense of losing the real world, Satan's gonna come on you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Money. It's a lot better than money, mate. That's how I was dead on arrival. You used to be hard with fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, Alan, going back to the, obviously, when you said you were hospitalised for the attempts of, overdosing and whatnot, could you remember what hospital you was at?
98% of them have been at the hospital in Stirling.
It would be Ladbrook,
and it would have been the old Stirling Royal in Firmley. It used to be in Stirling, but now it's all converted into one hospital in Ladbrook, which is the main central region hospital for central region. All my records will be in there.
Stirling Royal Infirmary.
No, that'll be Ladbrook.
Yeah. Can you spell that for me, please?
Labert.
Labert.
I think it's just Royal Infirmary.
Okay.
It's the only real main central for Central Scotland. Every bone that's been broken from my body, you name it, they've got it all.
That's fair. That's obviously only because it's good to get the location of where, you know, you've been most admitted to, so we can, you know, get the best medical evidence on yourself.
Regarding my drug addiction, the place you'd like to for best for you to contact would be the CAD services, Community Drugs and Alcohol Services, and St Ninian's Mayfield Centre. They have all my records throughout my store addiction.
Okay. You said it was sorry, Alan, you said it was something Mayfield Centre. What was the first name of that?
It's CADS. So it's Community Alcohol and Drugs Service. CADS. CADS for short.
CADS.
CADS.
Yep.
No, first, yeah. But Community Alcohol Drugs Service. And that's at the Mayfield Centre in St. Ninian's in Stirling. You have all the records, every time I overdose, all the medication, the length of time I was on methadone, on diazepam, all the illicit substances that are proved positive for taking, the heroin, cocaine, pills, all that, you name it. That was my way of blocking all it. I couldn't deal with it. My brother, my mum, my dad, granny, my granddad, my sister, all the way I'm in care, and you know what I mean? It's just shit, man.
Yeah.
I never got to see them again. I've seen them before. I never got to see them again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I understand that. I'm just making a note of that now.
I now know what truly spiraled me to control where I go to the care system. You know what I mean? The only person that was left was my alcoholic mom. And she was in no fit state to look after me, and that just gave us no chance.
Yeah.
She died a few years later, not really. She was
drunk. I know. I'm sorry to hear that.
After that, it's just that I don't care anymore. They're all dead.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all gone. My brother, sister, dad, killed ourselves in overdoses. My mom's dying with drink. Fuck it. You know what I mean? I'm just
saying.
And it's totally wrecked my life,
Yeah. But you're still here though, Alan, that's the main thing, isn't it? Yeah. Well, Alan, can I have the name of your doctor's practice as well, please?
Sure, mate, it's Alan Parkford. I'll be honest with you, I haven't been to see a doctor in a long, long time, right? I only go to hospitals if I'm dying. I've been through that much crap, you know, I've got a really hard pain. I'm not boasting. I promise you, I'm not any good testicle or prideful man, right? for just the life I've had to live in the streets and everything. I mean, it takes a lot for me to go out and see a doctor. I just believe it by his face. I'm healed and I soldier on. And I said, obviously, you need to get on my feet again, eh?
But yeah,
I've been to see my doctor a long time, but I know that the kind of, I can hear you naming that. That's not good.
It's just so we can pull your medical record as a whole.
I'm sure it's Dr. Alan Park Medical Practice. Because they'll get all the records in between, like, hospital and that day. They go, okay. Because it was like, see, after I go, like, murder, eh, and I broke back the life and that. I had two broken legs, broken wrist, broken jaw, fractured skull. I still walked to that hospital, came in.
Yeah.
And I was meant to go back and get pins put in both arms, my wrist, my jaw, and my leg. I didn't go back, man. I did not go back. I lay in my bed. I crawled up to this house and I healed. It's crazy, man. It came to the ear, but I've still got weak ankles and weak wrists. The base is in the end. But I never went back. You know what I mean? It's just like,
yeah.
That meant that to the system. Every one of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I understand that.
I just didn't even go back. I only went there because I was lying in the street.
It's
a horrible. You have to press reset in the subconscious, and every way possible you can pull a drink it. Honestly, mate, and I have to sit alone, like I say, without the engine of me relatives. Nothing, just me and my dog.
Yeah.
You know, it's just this fierce and existence, but it's peaceful, you know what I mean? But if
yeah.
far I appreciate there are people out there now.
It's your own independence, isn't it?
I knew I became independent.
Yeah.
It's so hard to let people into my life.
Yeah.
Because every time somebody walks in, they bring all their bullshit with them, all their dramas and people's daily dramas that they're life and shit to me, and I'm like, what?
You're
so stupid, man. Get a fucking grip, and they don't like that.
Yeah.
They don't like being under this. They think I'm cold-hearted, I don't care. Oh, I don't care, I just think it's pathetic the way you're acting, or such a stupid thing that can be easily resolved. Oh, you've got to go and do that to that person because this and say that about he says he said on the seashores, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just can't accept that, you know what I mean, buddy?
Yeah, I understand that.
You think the people, you know, they end up getting hurt with my words or I'll end up cracking physically. Get the fuck out of my house, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's boundaries here, you know what I mean? There's no man in this world gets to break them, like.
Yeah, no, I do understand that. But yeah, as I said, here you are today, you're still shining bright, aren't you, mate? So that's all you can take from it, really.
Yeah.
We're just going to your care settings here, Alan. I can see we've got down in our system here that was that Raven's Hall?
Weedings Hall.
Weedings. Could you spell that one for me, please?
W-Y-N, like, Weedings, it's like, no, W, like, aye, just like you spell it, Weeding, but Weedings Hall. Victorian House, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's called Weedings Hall. So it was a second name of somebody called Weedings. It was their big, gigantic hall that turned out a sound zone. So it's called Weedings Hall. Yeah, that was the very first
one
that I ever went to.
You know what you've said there, Alan, I've got some sort of description of it, but from what it looks like, it's turned into, isn't exactly what it is anymore.
No, it's totally changed now. It's totally changed. All we've done up is very modern now.
Okay.
Get him. He's not a small dog, he's a big dog.
Yeah.
A big, one thing.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I was just saying, no, it's all been done up now, and now we can be quite quiet. So,
Yeah, and can I just confirm that you was there for, let's have a look.
Exactly. Enough.
And you were there for 12 years, was you?
I was there for, I didn't see the full 12 years, no. I was there for about, because I went to there to rescue the Irish and Paul Glenn and Falk up for about 3 years. Then I went to Foster Fields and Porty Monteith for 3.5 years. Then I left there and I was in a Tullabuddy Children's Home, which is one of the worst ones for abuse alongside Pullman.
Yeah.
I went to Tullabuddy, then I went back to Pullman. I was in security units, and then I went back to Tullabuddy, and then I got kicked out at 16. Hey! Stay face. Elijah, stop it! After that, I was in prison before I was 17, but I was 21.
Yeah.
Well, what's your name last? Didn't even last a year at the care system, I was sentenced to 13 years. Cameron! Cameron! That's my phone.
I've got that Tullabuddy Children's Home as well in Alloa.
That's right, yeah, in Alloa.
Where is it? The Okay, perfect. So I've got them two. So when I get the medical records back on yourself, Alan, would you like me to share them with you? Obviously, that's completely your decision.
I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, no, of course.
It's a weird place because usually they say, no, just you read them, mate. But, you know, Alan, you know, to me, it's like, looking back and pulling out that, I overcame that. I put all the bad things in a cookie jar. Even if my life's hard for me, I look back at the cookie jar, it's got all this shit in my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I fixed that and I overcame that. I fixed that in another cookie and I overcame that. And I overcame that, I overcome this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I don't understand that.
So I don't mind talking about it though, but it's up to yourself, yeah, but I don't mind getting over them.
Yeah, no, of course. Well, yeah, whenever we do get them records back, I will email you obviously across the records that we've been shared on yourself. But obviously just to remind you, Alan, obviously I am here for the whole process, right until the end with you. So this is going to be roughly around, you know, with the 6 to 12 month process. Well, in that time, obviously, I'll be giving you a call every, 4 to 5 weeks with, an update on how I'm traveling with the case and stuff like that.
I appreciate it, really.
No, of course, that's what I'm here for.
It's like, couldn't I feel that I'd better save my life, get away from addiction, and look, I'm actually looking for work in that again, or I get decent, stuff, not really.
Yeah.
It's like, couldn't I feel that I'd better save a fresh start, maybe give me the finances to get rid of this environment. Like I say, I can't get in associated with these people because of my past.
Yeah.
Simple, because of my past, so it's like, I'm isolated. people in Mormon and how you do, but I don't sit in anybody's company and I don't let anyone in my house.
Yeah.
So I'm out of that environment of being locked up in that, I'm still a prisoner. You know what I mean? I'm still isolated because I'm in an environment where I can't socialise with these people. They'll just go up. Does that make sense?
What I'm going to be doing on your case is, you know, top line, you know, I'm going to be, you know, getting you the apology that you do deserve, you know, from the Scottish Government. At the same time, you know, I'm going to fight to get, you know, the financial compensation that, you know, you do deserve for what you've been through. And obviously this decision that is made, from the, you know, the Scottish Redress, it's, you know, it's the decisions made behind closed doors by an independent panel. You don't have to attend anywhere or anything like that. It's all done behind closed doors. You know, you have been recognised as a vulnerable citizen, by being given a case number.
That's good to hear, right? I mean, that's fantastic to hear that I've been recognised because, see, honestly, buddy, nobody knows what I've been through, you know what I mean? But me.
Yeah.
Nobody can really comprehend the gravity at all. You know what I mean? And like you say, I never chose that life. I would put my flying catapulted in it. I had no awareness or no teacher, no upbringing, no boundaries, no, you know what I mean?
It's
horrible. And like you say, you know, she's sitting on benefits and that. She's crap, man.
I don't understand
how hard it is to go for years and that. Literally a game on earth. And having to crawl your way out of that shit. You know what I mean?
And
at the same time, nobody better about it. Just let it go. Let it all fucking go, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a lot of pain. It's a lot of emotional and mental and
I can fully understand what you have been through. It's not the nicest, and certainly, you know, as a human being, you know, we always do deserve better. So, you know, to be going through stuff like that at a very young age, and it's with you as you grow up, and, you know, it's not something you can just, you know, get over. You know what I mean? As I said, it sticks with you for life. So, you know, that's what we're here for as a law firm, you know, to be that kind of, you know, other person at the end of the phone, but not only that, you know, get you something that you know, you rightly do deserve, which is, you know, the compensation at least.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Just before I do fully go ahead with your case, I just do need to discuss the, you know, the funding options that obviously you do have for yourself, as, you know, as a person, as a human being. There is obviously three ways that you can proceed with your application, and that is obviously, you know, you can apply for this application yourself. You don't need a solicitor or, you know, a law firm to be doing this for you. You know, you can do this case yourself. That's option one. But option two is obviously you do have, you know, law firms out there that work within the government scheme and are paid up to £2,000 by the Scottish Government. And that's obviously they get that funding per case, whether they, you know, you win or lose. But obviously we can't legally advise, you know, what they do or how they deal with their cases. But with ourselves, you know, we, you know, being a private law firm, we take a small fee of 16% plus back the original total is 19.2%, and that is capped. And with that, Alan, obviously, we aim and we work our hardest to make sure, you know, we try and get the win for your case. But, you know, we always have to explain the worst-case scenario as well, which is, you know, unfortunately, we don't win the case. And if we don't win the case, we don't come and chase you for any fees, anything like that. So it's basically a no-win, no-fee. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As I said, you know, we don't put that any, you know, kind of financial pressure, anything like that on you. But behind the scenes now, up and, you know, for the next 12 months, we're going to be working our hardest to get all the evidence matched, you know, get all your medical records all together, and put forward a very solid case for yourself, so we can get that in.
Can I just ask you a quick question? Do I have to see if I go ahead with you guys? Does that mean I'm void to use any other lawyers?
Say that again, sorry.
If I was to see you guys, if you guys take my case, right, does that exclude me to use any other lawyers looking at my case?
It does, yeah, and the only reason why I say yes is because
the only reason I'm saying that is because the percentage of the return to ourselves, see, it's a bit high, eh?
So it's 16% plus VAT, which is 19.2%. Now, and that's capped, it'll never go over, but from my experience and from what I have seen out there, you know, from what I have been hearing, there is law firms that take up to, you know, they do 20% plus VAT, so that takes up to 24-25%. So from what I've
heard from... What percentage is, like, if I was to go to my criminal lawyer, so if I ever got in trouble as a lawyer, I would go to him, right? Say first I was to go to him, I don't know what percentage he would want to take up this case. I know he would take it. I know he'd go to lawyers that would put halfway take this case on.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much percentage he would want, you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, no, I do fully understand that, Alan. Well, I don't want to put any pressure on yourself. You do, I can see here, you do have a cooling off period, which is up until the 24th of April. So obviously that cooling off period means, obviously, we're not going to start on your case until you actually say so and you want us to remove that cooling off period. Or,
yeah,
after that...
So that's all right for me. Yeah, get a conversation with my other lawyer and ask him what his percentage would be.
You are more than welcome to, yeah.
I can give you that, yes, you'll go ahead or no, I'm going to get my other lawyer to you.
All you have to do is obviously make that phone call to your lawyer if you want to, and then if whatever decision you make, you just give us a call back. And let us know whether you want to go ahead with ourselves or go ahead with, you know, your criminal lawyer. That's entirely up to you. My notes from the phone call today, you know, will be noted. So whoever you speak to, whether it's me or, you know, one of my colleagues, they'll know exactly what the reason for your next call would be.
Okay. I'll find out, I'll ask my lawyer, and then. I'll wait
in
a phone call back,
please.
Yeah.
All right, then, Alan, that's not a problem at all. If you want to go ahead and make that phone call, you know, you're more than welcome to do so. I'll leave your case in the cooling off period for now, and then we'll wait to hear from you again, okay?
Yeah, that's brilliant. Honestly, it's like, I don't want to see that I'm being rude or that.
Yeah, no, of course, I understand that. It's obviously, it's completely at your discretion what you want to do, and as I said, there's no pressure from our end.
I really appreciate
your call, not a problem, Alan.
I will be in touch, my friend, right?
Not a problem, I look forward to your call again. Have a wonderful day.
You too, my friend, no pleasure.
You too, mate, to speak to you soon.
Great,
cheers, mate. Bye now. Bye.